There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And just like that, it's FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Glad you're here. Easy to get in touch with the show as well. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. 251-343-0106. Breaking news as we come on the air. The rumor mill has been going on for, you know, bulk of today, I think, maybe a little bit before that, earlier in the week. But A.G. Pam Bondi has been fired, and Todd Blanche, who's the deputy attorney general to be the interim attorney general, we'll get to that in just a second, because that is breaking news right now that President Trump was, they were reporting that President Trump was frustrated with Pam Bondi and had considered firing her. We've been asking on this show, right, for the longest time, would it be Bondi or Patel? Looks like it's Bondi before Patel here. But yes, story from NBC said Trump frustrated with Pam Bondi, considering firing her. Since the Epstein file saga, Bondi has struggled with her to regain her footing with the president and delivering wins, including securing indictments against his political foes. I would say it was the end of that that's more important. I really don't think the Epstein thing and the debacle there, because remember the president said, well, who's even talking about Epstein? But it may be her, you know, lack of success here with going after, you know, political foes here and from the attorney general. But she's out. So we'll get to that story in just a little bit. I do want to start off this way because Leanna, who is, you know, the force behind FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook, came in and said, hey, I took a picture from your personal Facebook page and put it on the station Facebook page. And there it is. So if you go to FM Talk 106.5 on Facebook, you'll see the picture. So I was gone, and big thank you to April Marie, who filled in for me yesterday, and my buddy Cameron Smith, who filled in for me on Tuesday, back to the governor's one-shot turkey hunt. And Governor Ivey was not there. You've heard the medical condition story that's already run this week, but she was not at the event for the welcoming thing, which is probably, you know, lucky break for me that I, you know, even get invited back on this thing. I don't know how it works, but I do. And we'll see with the new governor if this happens in the future, but this is the third time I've done this. And you go up and they pair you with people and you go on turkeys. And some people say, well, you go on hunting turkeys and the legislature's in session, all this stuff's going on. Well, I found a kindred spirit. Before we get the rest of the story, I found a kindred spirit out there. And this was this popped up on my social media yesterday. And this is audio of the Texas coach, Vic Schaefer. Okay? He is his Lady Longhorns going to the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. Okay, so he's got the video here, shows him with the, you know, the net that they've cut down is around his neck. He's talking about, you know, he's in a presser about, all right, where are we going with the basketball team here, you know, Lady Longhorns? And he gets asked what he's going to do and what he's getting ready to do. And he lays it out. So I want to, as we get started, just before anything, you know, we get the text line popping at 251-343-0106. People go, yeah, you know, it's weekdays and you're out there chasing turkeys in the Black Belt of Alabama. I want to say this, kindred spirit. His name is Vic Schaefer. He is the Texas coach, Lady Longhorns, advancing to the Final Four of the NCAA tournament. And he had this to say, so this audio. And let's go to cut one. Here we go. Here is Vic Schaefer.
I'm going to kill a turkey in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey season opened Saturday. I'm going to kill a turkey in the morning. I'll be in the office by 10 o'clock. and I'll be in the film, watching film, getting ready, and then the second thing is I'm going to leave for Phoenix tomorrow. Just being honest. That's going to happen. I've earned that right to be in the woods for a couple hours in the morning calling a turkey. And then we'll get ready for whoever's, you know, whatever's going to happen after that. But I'll watch film tonight, absolutely, all the way home. I'll watch it till I can't stay awake tonight, just like I've done here for four or five straight nights. But I'm going to treat myself in the morning to, it might not even take longer than 30 minutes if I can call that dude off the roost. But after that, I'll be in the office. And I'll be getting ready for UCLA.
There he is. By Spirit Animal, Texas head coach Vic Schaefer. Texas coach Vic Schaefer of the Lady Longhorns. So there you go. That's how we'll get started before we go any further in this discussion. All right. The Pam Bondi thing. We had a couple things lined up here. Like I said to Jeff, I'm excited about the Artemis mission. I think it's cool. I think you've got a trip around the moon, getting ready for a return to the moon. I was born the last year, 72, last time astronauts went to the moon, unless you don't believe went to the moon, but 72. So it would be the return to the moon thing. Or if you don't believe we went to the moon in the first place and it was all on a soundstage, it would be the first trip to the moon. But either way, it's a cool thing. So if we have just put it, I was going to talk about that at length here till this news broke right as we came on the air. So let's get the latest on this, as this has just broken out. So Pam Bondi out as AG, Todd Blanch in as AG. Now, Todd Blanch, who has been the, I guess, the deputy AG, he was he's now acting AG. This is all kind of coming in as we talk here. Acting AG at this point. So he is in, I don't know, you know, Todd Blanch is a Trump loyalist, although, you know what, and that's what I saw on Twitter a second ago. Somebody said, well, you know, he's a Trump, and you're telling me Bondi wasn't? I mean, we'll see. Todd Blanch is in at AG. Let's see the latest on this. By the way, Todd Blanch had made the news, too, just a couple days ago. Where, how about Voice from the Past? This story from over at thehill.com. Name from the past. Chris Christie, former federal prosecutor, get the hell off the beach, Chris Christie, said Sunday that Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanch, so this is before this announcement, so this is like backstory, right? He was complaining that Todd Blanch is, quote, obliterating, end quote, the DOJ's reputation after the official touted the mass firing of employees tied to President Trump's past indictments. Christie was on ABC's This Week and said, we didn't obliterate the Iran nuclear program, obviously, in June, but he is obliterating. What do you mean in June? Whatever, Chris Christie's talking here. So we didn't obliterate the Iran nuclear program, obviously, in June, but he is obliterating his reputation and the reputation of the department that I work for and that I really love, and I'm in mourning now. So Chris Christie chiming in on Todd Blanch before this even came out. Did he have a, I don't know, did he know? He said, I went on to say last week, Blanch said that he and FBI Director Kash Patel cleaned house by removing employees tied to Trump's prosecution during remarks at CPAC in Texas. Christie said his comments can sway Americans' faith in independent investigations, free of partisanship. Christie told Jonathan Carl, the host, look, this is the single most damaging thing to long-term stability of our institutions that has happened in the second Trump term. And he went on to say the dismantling of the Department of Justice and greater partisan activity as Deputy Attorney General, which is that's what he was until today, just admitted in that clip that the only reason these people were let go is because they followed the direction of the rightfully appointed Attorney General of the United States, confirmed by the U.S. Senate, to conduct investigations. And because they did that, they're being fired. So there's Christie just days ago, back on Sunday, talking about Todd Blanch. It doesn't seem to be a fan. But Bondi's out. I don't know. You know, Bondi's out, and then Kash Patel's still in. President last night was, how'd you feel after listening to the president last night address the war in Iran? The idea of getting out there sooner than later, I'm all for. Also, though, telegraphing how long we'll stay, is that bad for the, you know, the idea that your enemy just goes, well, we just have to hold on for 3 weeks or 5 weeks or something, then it's done. Of course, President very, very tuned into the oil prices and the market, and they have not taken this well from last night. So I don't know, your reaction to that as well at 251-343-0106. We'll come back and talk about that on the text line and on the telephone line. All right, this one from a named texter says, but the Dow was at 50,000. Yes, remember that on the Epstein thing? Who cares about the... That was Bondi. Now she's out. This from Squirrel of Rain said, next the liberals will call Trump sexist for firing women, even though they don't like them. I don't know what they're going to call here, but I think there's a lot of scrutiny now that's going to happen on Todd Blanche. So what's this guy about, right? I mean, you just heard, is it timed out? Was it specifically timed out that Chris Christie was talking badly about him on Sunday? Maybe he knew something going forward? And we'll do this as we go in the break out of the text, and we'll come back to the rest of the text at 251-343-0106. Derek says on the text line, my kindred spirit, meaning his, was a dude when asked about what he would do if he won the lottery. I think this may be one of the most famous clips on the web, right? And I quote, hookers and cocaine, just saying. That was the hookers and cocaine lottery guy, which, by the way, I heard of like a follow-up interview with him. In years later, he's like, you know, that was a joke. I don't do either of those things, but it seemed funny to say. Mine happens to be Texas coach Vic Schaefer. And that's how we get rolling on a Thursday edition of Midday Mobile. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:22 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. This Thursday, check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Talk about some precious metals. And you got those, speaking of gold, you got some roses in. What's the deal with this?
Yes, so they're a real rose that they've dipped in lacquer and gold-plated it. So some of them actually have the original rose color. Some of them are different colors that have been dyed or altered, and it's kind of all over the color spectrum as far as what colors are available.
Okay, so you got those as gift ideas. Also, last time we talked, you talked about the watches y'all just got in. You called them Hubert or Hubert or whatever.
Hubert.
Mm-hmm. What's the story with these? They're real popular.
It's a really nice watch for the price tag, and the quality is decent. And it, from far away, it looks just like a Rolex. They come in different colors, different styles. And a lot of it looks, you know, like luxury items, but they cost you a fraction of the cost of the real things.
I like that. Save us some dollars there. And obviously, if people are looking at just buying precious metals, y'all are busy with gold and silver.
Oh, absolutely. And we have plenty in stock, silver rounds, bars, you know, American Gold Eagles, bars, you name it.
Okay. Well, and I was going to tell them how to find you, but also, you and I were talking a second ago, they need to come today because tomorrow y'all are, I guess, off for Good Friday?
Yes, we are going to be closed tomorrow. We are open today until 4:30. If you wanted to stop in, we're at 2204 Government Street, or you can give us a call. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
Hey, thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We'll get back to the... Oh, yeah, somebody said, here about the Bondi thing versus Artemis right here. Yeah, I'm interested in the Artemis thing, too, but what's more important? It's funny, you look at it, what's more important? A return trip, or depending on who you are, a first trip to the moon, or is it that Bondi's out? It kind of looks like Bondi's out is the bigger story. So, and all this is fairly new, but it's the news breaking as we came on there. Pam Bondi fired as Attorney General You've got the person in waiting, I guess, Todd Blanche. I mean, he's the assistant AG, but he's filling in. I don't know if that means he becomes the next AG or they're going to find somebody else. Some of the names I heard thrown around here during the news break. Lee Zeldin is one of the names. EPA Director Lee Zeldin could move in to that position. So maybe it doesn't mean Blanche becomes AG. It's just temporary till that comes in. We'll see where that goes. All right. To these text messages, let's see. David in Fairhope said, Sean, the Bondi firing is the best Easter present ever. Why is that, David? Is it that you didn't like her all along? You don't think or is it because she failed on, you know, getting indictments? Or what? I mean, I think she's been ineffectual. And not really with the political prosecutions is not what I focused on, but the Epstein files. I think that was not done the same way I feel about Cash Patel. But yeah, is your problem with it because you want her gone all along or you want her gone now? Let me know. All right. Joshua said the current president used to fire people on a television show, so I don't care. He's at the very least consistent. That's true. You're fired. Bobby said from last night, not a great speech from the president. Yeah, I don't. Maybe he's run out of stuff to say. I don't, you know, bombing him into the Stone Age. I get it. All right, we're going to bomb him in the Stone Age. We're going to get him, and then we're going to leave. You know, I don't know. Like, the market didn't like it. I mean, and hopefully we'll have Jay Young back on the show soon. He's the oil guy out of Dallas, my buddy that hops on with me once in a while to talk about what's going forward here, what he sees with prices doing this. Is this just coming out? All right. I thought they had Caroline Leavitt maybe going up to talk about Bondi, but not yet. Okay, so Bondi, we'll wait for that. We'll wait for that presser. All right, coming up in a few minutes, speaking of politics out there, my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. One of the stories, we're going to talk about several stories, but this one's interesting. You know, it's been discussed here before, but you've got, what does the Trump endorsement mean in Alabama? We have talked about this before. The Trump endorsement's not batting 1,000. You know, he'll pick a candidate, and that doesn't mean they'll win, even in a state that overwhelmingly supports President Trump. But when he gives an endorsement to a candidate, it doesn't always mean that person wins. And John has a story about John Wall, so former Alabama Republican Party chair John Wall, guest on the show, on Jeff's show a good bit, got that endorsement back in January from Trump. It was like he announced and got the endorsement within one day. In the lieutenant governor's race, it happened that fast. But I've heard the discussion that I think Jeff had put out, 1819, or Jeff had talked about a poll that was out that showed a very small number of voters out there in that race knew that Wall had gotten the Trump endorsement. So that's one part. I mean, has it yet to manifest itself out there? Or is it going to be one of these situations where it doesn't matter in Alabama? And we've seen it before. President will give an endorsement, and people say, okay, well, we still vote for President Trump. They like President Trump, but they don't go vote for the person endorsed by him. So we'll talk about that with John in just a few minutes. All right, and the Bondi thing, let's see. Yeah, so it's just somebody said, how long has this been in the workings? I don't know. I just know it was made official here just a little bit ago. Let's see. So we'll go and Artemis. Yeah, hopefully. Okay. I do want to talk to Artemis about the Artemis program. Maybe we'll do that later on in the show. I mean, it's going to be, you've got back in 22, they had a uncrewed test flight. Now we have a crewed test flight, and the end of it's going to be going to land back on the moon, or for some of y'all out there, land on the moon for the first time. But all of it, I think it's pretty cool. By the way, too, in related news, SpaceX stock option is going to be out there. I'm trying to figure out when that goes on sale. Take that. Might beat the Tesla stock long term. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. News is next.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, and always fun to talk to my buddy John Sharp from AL.com and get caught up with all the news and the latest pickleball news as well. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good. Things are good? Pickleball, everything good? No injuries here recently?
Yeah. No injuries, no, none to report of. It's getting humid out there. I can attest to that from last night. My goodness, the weather's gorgeous. But you get out and exercise and do what you got to do. After a while, it catches up to you, and you're like, well, okay, it's going to be slowly inching towards that time of the year.
Yeah, so, that's when people complain about, like, the years where winter or early spring hangs on for two. They're like, I'm ready for it to get warm. I said, well, get ready, because it'll come, and it'll be here till October. So the later it gets here, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it slapped me in the face last night, and I'm like, okay, hello. We'll be keeping that in mind as we go forward.
It's back. Hey, before you came on, I was telling folks about, you know, this. It's interesting, and we look at the track record in Alabama of Trump endorsements. It's not always been a sure thing, right? I mean, he's not batting 1,000 on those in Alabama with who he endorses, or then he'll switch an endorsement. But this one's interesting too, because this is. A couple things. I mean, number one, I don't know. There was some polling went out that a lot of people didn't know John Wall had gotten the Trump endorsement. Maybe he got lost in the mix. But then some people do. And then you've got this story here about the new poll that was released this week that shows that maybe this is not everything for John Wall, that endorsement. It's not rocketed him to the top of the list.
That's correct. Also, keep in mind, though, when you look at a poll like this, you got to look further and be like, well, who's been surveyed, and you look at it, 600 Republicans were surveyed in this poll conducted by the Alabama poll. Michael Lowry is the founder of this poll, and they've done a couple of surveys on Alabama races leading up to this recent one that came out just earlier this week. He's former chief of staff to Representative Robert Aderholt. But one of the things that struck out to me is obviously 60% of the voters, Republican voters, remain undecided. That's a lot. That's a lot of voters that are up in the air. We're getting down to crunch time, right? But there's a lot of voters out there that need to be convincing. So you look at this poll, you got to keep that in mind. But as it stands right now, Secretary of State Wes Allen has a, you know, sizable advantage over John Wall. Actually, John Wall in this latest poll is in third place behind Rick Pate, who's the ag commissioner currently. So, yeah, so this is kind of, it's eye-opening. You know, John Wall came out, announced his candidacy in January, right after he got an endorsement from President Trump. All this was, you know, quick. It was kind of surprising. You know, John Wall's gotten an endorsement from President Trump. He's not even announced that he's running for lieutenant governor, I guess. Yeah, what? Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was kind of interesting. So it's, you know, and not only that, but John Wall also has the endorsement from Club for Growth. We all that have followed this stuff over the years are very familiar with Club for Growth. They are a well-financed operation that runs sometimes over-the-top ads. And so what would their influence be like in the last couple of weeks leading up to the primary? That's something to keep an eye on. But, yes, right off, you know, this poll is indicative, once again, that a Trump endorsement is not an automatic slam dunk, especially in Alabama. You could go back 10 years ago, 2016, when President Trump endorsed Luther Strange.
And that's the one I think about. Whenever I start that discussion, that's the one that's always on my mind.
Right. And then he turned around, and, you know, before the general election, that special election that year, he endorsed Roy Moore. And of course, we know how that turned out. So he went 0-2 in a matter of a few months in Alabama. And I think there was a quote. It was one of the national outlets. You know, he was kind of befuddled. He's just like, I don't know what's going on in Alabama. So, you know, that at that time, that was interesting. And then, you know, you have to just go back a few years ago in the Senate race, which Senator Britt won. You know, he initially endorsed Mo Brooks.
Yeah.
And then he pulled back on that endorsement and then went with Katie Britt, and she wound up winning. So, you know, he had to readjust his endorsement that year. So, yeah, there's a history here.
You know, you point out, so, I mean, Wall is, 7%, West Allen 11.7%, 18.7% for the leader, West Allen, 7% in the lieutenant governor race for Wall. But then you point out that he's trailing Rick Pate, you know, ag commissioner, now running for lieutenant governor, who I was just up in Lowndes County, which is his home county. You'd have to close your eyes and not see a Rick Pate sign up there. And then Nicole Wadsworth back in the mix as well. You know, what are you running for? I don't know what you got, right? So, I mean, this is the list here for lieutenant governor, which is a big deal. This is the person who will be there alongside what looks like at this point, if nothing changes, current Senator Tuberville. This is a kind of a big position.
Yeah, that's correct. The lieutenant governor's race is, you know, it's number two most important state office, constitutional office in Alabama. So whoever wins this will be right behind the governor. And we don't really, I mean, the governor's primary, but, you know, with all due respect to Mr. McFeeters, is not considered competitive. So this race is considered fiercely competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gotten a lot of attention. I think we're also going to see a lot of attention paid on the Alabama U.S. Senate race. I think that that's going to be fiercely contested. I think we got three good candidates right now that are battling it out. And, you know, keep in mind, we also have the first congressional district down here. That's going to be competitive. So there's some competitive races that folks need to be starting to pay attention to, because once sine die happens in Montgomery next week, all systems go on the elections.
100%. You know, and if you're just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com, John, you mentioned earlier, too, Club for Growth. And that's another one where, like, you know, we talked about not all the Trump, you know, endorsements have gotten that person to win or got, you know. But same thing with Club for Growth. They play in AL1, you know, they've done this in the past. They play now, obviously, in this Senate race. They have not always picked the winner in Alabama either, even though they load up, you know, against whoever. They pick a candidate, load up against their opponents. That doesn't always come to fruition for them.
Yeah, that's correct. If I can recall, I think they backed Bill Hightower.
Correct.
Years ago. Jerry Carl defeated him. Yeah, but then again, they flipped and backed Barry Moore against Jerry Carl, and that one worked out for him. So yeah, it's hit or miss with some of these groups. But they, you know, they come with a lot of money to support the candidate they're backing, and you'll see the ads. They will pop up.
Mm-hmm.
They have money to produce television ads, and they will be eye-opening, and we're sure to get our hand full, our eyes full, ears full soon enough. So
And I didn't get to talk last week. Did you see the one that they ran against Marshall? The ad, the Club for Growth did against Marshall about the like soft on crime and letting people out, and there's a rape component to it and a case out there. I don't know if you've seen it. It's even for Club for Growth, I was like, oh wow, okay, that's pretty aggressive.
Well, once they get aggressive, you know that the race that they're getting aggressive in is going to be a race that warrants the public's attention. As a voter, I think it's incumbent to, you know, start looking at the candidates that you start seeing these wild ads in. There's a reason why those ads are out there. It's because it's going to be a tight race. They're backing a candidate. And, you know, it's the voters, you know, it's not going to be high turnout, as, you know, these primaries often are. So every vote does count. Every informed voter is an important thing. And at this point in time, start doing your homework. When you start seeing these ads, it's important to go back and look at the candidates, see what they truly, who they are, what their past records are. I mean, some of these races, you know, these candidates do have a track record. We know who they are and what they've done. And they've been out there for a while. Their names are well recognized. Not in every case, you know, there are going to be some events coming up too, whether or not they're candidate meet and greets or forums, and they'll be going on throughout the state. And you know, encourage folks to follow the Republican or Democratic, parties' Facebook pages and websites to see when these events might pop up, because that seems to be the driving force right now ahead of the primary, are these forums in which the candidates show up and you can hear from them yourself. It's, you know, we got a few weeks, you know, we got over a month before mm-hmm. we have this election, so there's some time still to really, you know, pay attention to what's going on. But there's also time for a lot of these wild ads too.
That's so, right.
Just saying, when you see them, it's time to maybe look into that race and who are the candidates.
Okay, I want to talk about this story is about the current job of Steve Marshall, not the running for office here. But this was discussed. We have talked about this before, and it's back now. Alabama launches new effort to guide opioid settlement spending and avoid waste. I love hearing the avoid waste here. But what is this is, you know, this is something that the money's coming. How's it going to be doled out to different groups in the state? Right. And this is partnering with the attorney general here. And that Helios, when was that? 2 years ago? A year ago? When did we first hear from them?
Yeah, about 2 years ago. And you're right. This is an interesting ongoing issue that probably will folks that take over your job and my job eventually will probably still be talking about, because this settlement money is going to be coming out for years to come. But this is setting a foundation in Alabama on how this money potentially should be looked at. And it has a very mobile component. The Helios Alliance is a nonprofit organization involving several outlets that, you know, specialize in various service related to opioid addiction and recoveries. And they use this high tech type of modeling. It's beyond what I can describe over the phone right now, but it has an artificial intelligence component. In other words, what they've done is they've taken the money that's come to the city of Mobile, the first tranche being around $2.2 million, and this was last year, and they were able to model a program for the city of Mobile to best utilize this money that would be the most effective, you know, to the various organizations that would be the most effective as far as trying to combat the opioid epidemic going forward. At any rate, with the Helios Alliance, held a couple of old meet and greets and sessions and brought in speakers and that here downtown Mobile about a year or two ago. And Steve Marshall's, he attended one of those events, and I think he walked away impressed with what he saw, and made a comment to me at the time that kind of really struck out, is that a lot of cities and counties throughout the state, they have no idea what to do with this money.
Right.
And this is a very progressive, forward-thinking way of looking at things. And so that this money is not wasted. What we're seeing, and you look at the national news outlets out there, there's stories out there already about cities and counties and other states in the country using this money to basically boost up police and fire departments. But sometimes that money's not going towards fighting drug abuse or opioid problems. It's going towards other capital purchases that may be a little bit questionable. And we're starting to see these stories pop up. To the benefit of the attorney general, he sees this as well and saying, we don't want to blow all this money. This
yeah, let's not waste it.
Shot.
Yes, 100. Yeah. And I agree with that, because I always worry when we get these oils or whatever it is, money, that if you don't apply, I mean, you don't sit back and look at it, you may, you know, spend it in a way that's not the most efficient.
And that's what they're wanting to avoid here. You know, you got to sympathize somewhat to, you know, a city council in a very small community. You get this money and you're like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? I think a lot of cities that are responsible are setting it aside and waiting it out and see what's the best way going forward and relying on the experts. And that's why, you know, we're seeing this right now, or this announcement was made that the Helio Alliance will be, you know, joining up with the Attorney General, joining up with the League of Municipalities to provide some guidance going forward about the best practices on how to utilize this settlement money.
All right. That's one of just tons of stories from my man, John Sharp, over at AL.com. You want to check him out, go there. If you just want to talk maybe about the news, but also pickleball. How do they find you online?
Yep, on the socials at JohnSharp99.
John, as always, I appreciate it, man, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Sean, thanks.
All right, there goes John, and we're coming right back. Get your text and phone calls at 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. This segment of the show brought to you by Jeff and the whole crew at Stone Arms. They're on Airport just west of Snow. Online at Stone Arms, Inc. That's INC, stonearmsinc.com, or find them on Facebook as well. Been thinking about it for a, if you were like me, it was years. I was thinking about, man, I'm going to start shooting a suppressor, a silencer out there. But I got to go through the program here. It's going to take a long time. Well, not only did just, what, a couple years ago when I did it with Stone Arms, it expedited the process in a big way, made sure I didn't make any mistakes. It's gotten even better in the last couple years. So, if you've been thinking, okay, whether it's your deer rifle or you want to get a modern sporting arm or whatever you want to shoot without having to wear hearing protection, it's really a nice thing with shooting a silencer. The process to get there, to get your go-ahead from the ATF, is the easiest it's ever been when you go to Stone Arms. So they've got a computer in there, which Jeff called a kiosk. It's a computer on the wall. But you go in and put your information in, and it just... Make sure you do the correct thing at the correct time. In other words, if you're filling out the forms, you know how Fed stuff is. If you mess this up, then the whole thing's wrong. Well, this program makes sure you don't miss a page. You put all your information in the right way. Then it does the fingerprints and the passport type photo, all that right there in the shop. Puts it together, sends the email off to the Feds. They've got everything. Like, you do this, and you press this, and it all goes to the right place. They're getting responses back now in 48 hours. For people getting their green light from the Feds to get their suppressor. And lucky for all of us, a great selection of canned silencer suppressors there, plus the rifles and pistols and shotguns that we all love as well, and all the accessories. We'll see what's out there. StoneArmsInc.com is the website. But the most fun is to go see the crew out there just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport Boulevard at Stone Arms. All right, to the text line. Oh, and also heads up here, too. This is coming up on April 18th at Amelia Park in Saraland. I got this from my friend Tony Ann. It is the We Will Survive and Thrive K. It doesn't tell me how many miles we run in here, and the kilometer thing. But it's a benefit for Penelope House, which is a great organization. They're 8K race. Sounds like a lot of Ks. 8K race and fun run. I'm in for the fun run. That event in Saraland coming up on April 18th. More information, just go to Penelope House online, and they'll get it for you there. All right, let's see from the text line. And Motorman says, I would have missed Pam Bondi. I always liked the way she explained legal briefs. Jason says, Sean, if the polls don't turn around for John Wall, he might lose that Trump endorsement. You know, and by the way, too, just side note, can anybody help me with this? All the stories like John's story and everybody else who writes about John Sharp's story and anybody else who writes about John Wall in the state, they'll tell you that he's a butterfly farmer. My people on the text line, wouldn't that be a butterfly rancher? Would it be, to be accurate, he would be, if he's running, his stock, he's running butterflies, right? So wouldn't he be, so a butterfly farmer? Do you plant now he's a butterfly rancher. But this is interesting. And it hasn't always worked for Trump in Alabama. I think back to starting with Luther Strange going forward. And it doesn't always work for Club for Growth. Do they have influence? Of course they do. In a state that's such a strong supporter of President Trump, it helps. But I've seen this before in elections where people go, yeah, I love President Trump. Everything's good there. But I voted for so-and-so, even though they weren't in the Republican primary, they weren't the endorsed candidate. And in the Senate race, too, this thing has gotten, this polling, the latest poll, that Alabama poll that came out on Monday, this thing is there's three percentage points that separate the top three in the Senate race, in the Republican primary. So Barry Moore leading. So you got to remember, as of, and this, so how much of this is just Barry Moore on the campaign trail? How much of this is Barry Moore's Trump endorsement? I don't know. But you go back to February, the same polling group, same methodology. They had it was 17% for Barry Moore and 26% for Steve Marshall. As of March, 22.8% Barry Moore, 20.7% for Steve Marshall. And let me put this in, Jared Hudson, who had been polling in the single digits late last year, and even he was 8% back in February, is at 19% right now. So 3 percentage points is all that separates them. By the way, Jared Hudson will be on with us on, that's Tuesday? Yeah, he'll be on the show Tuesday. I think he's going to be on at noon, in the noon hour on Tuesday, so he's back on the show. And speaking on Schedule 2, just got a heads up, it is going to happen. My man, J.R. Young, will talk oil prices with us tomorrow at 12:30. All right, coming right back, right after the news, and my man Kyle from over at Landiap joins me.